Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Brewer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in the series that we're calling Labels. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke and studying our way through that. And we were in Luke chapter 4. This Sunday, I focused on verses 14 all the way down through 30. And right now, in particular, I just want to focus on verses 18 and 19. Jesus comes into his hometown. And he's the teacher that day. He's the preacher. And so he goes to the synagogue meeting and he pulls out the scroll of Isaiah. The scroll of Isaiah is handed to him. He unrolls it and he reads this prophecy. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, and then he tells them all, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I'm the fulfillment of what Isaiah was talking about here. And what's been really cool for me as I've studied through this, so Isaiah 61, that's where he's quoting from, Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61 and 2 seems to have in view Leviticus 25, this phrase about setting at liberty, proclaiming liberty. In Leviticus 25, the author there talks about something called the Year of Jubilee. And you may have heard of that, maybe not. Basically, every 7 years in the land of Israel, and the people of Israel in the Old Testament, they were to have a Sabbath year where they were not allowed to intentionally farm. They could just kind of take what the land produced, but they were to give the land a rest. They were to take a rest. It was a Sabbath year. And then every 50th year, so when 7 Sabbaths have gone by, on the 49th year, going into the 50th year, at the Day of Atonement, at the Passover festival, they would blow a ram's horn, right? They would blow the trumpet. And that's literally what Jubilee means, right? Ram's horn. They would blow the trumpet and they would proclaim it as a year of Jubilee. And on that 50th year, not only were they not to farm, they were to take a rest, but literally they would proclaim liberty. So anyone who had sold their labor within Israel, they would be set free. If people had debts, those debts would be canceled. If someone had sold their ancestral homeland, their farmland to someone else to try to pay off debts, they actually recovered that land. It would be redeemed in the year of Jubilee. When you read through it, I mean, really, it's an incredible year, a year where hope was given back to those who were hopeless, where the poor would receive land back. People who had gotten into debt would have that forgiven. I mean, it was just this, honestly, this picture of grace where people, I mean, you didn't deserve this. And you can imagine, right? Some people would gripe and say, well, that's not fair. But God was teaching them things about, hey, the land's not ultimately yours, it's mine. And you can imagine the hope that it would bring to those who were oppressed and who were poor. And it's a year of grace and the year of God's favor, undeserved. And it sets up, knowing that that would be a reality for the people of Israel every 50 years. And then Isaiah in Isaiah 61 says, hey, you know, one is coming who's going to proclaim liberty, the forgiveness of sin. And then Jesus comes and he reads Isaiah 61, and it's got the year of Jubilee sort of as the background or the context of that, though certainly it means more than that. But he says, hey, I'm the fulfillment of this. It's almost like Jesus is saying, I am the ultimate Jubilee. The ultimate moment, the ultimate year of the Lord's favor, it's here. The kingdom is here, and there's going to be forgiveness of sin. And the poor, it's good news for the poor, but it seems to also be like the spiritually poor in view here, where, hey, the riches of the kingdom are poured out for you. And those who are enslaved to their sin, freedom is here. You don't have to be a slave to your sin anymore because Jesus has gone to the cross for you. The Messiah has come and he's paid your sin debt at the cross, at the Day of Atonement. He was our atonement. He was our sacrifice on the cross. I mean, it's an extraordinary meaning here. And you think about what the book of Hebrews talks about with this rest that the people of God, this Sabbath rest that we can enter because of Jesus, that we can enter into. I mean, Jesus is saying all of that's here, Rest is found in me. Hope is found in me. The forgiveness of sin, of your sin debt, is found in me. Liberty for the captives. Hope for those who are hopeless. Freedom for those who are enslaved. Forgiveness of sin. Like, it's all the riches of the kingdom. It's here. The kingdom is here. The year, the ultimate time of Jubilee, the day of salvation is here. And he actually intentionally leaves off the next verse in Isaiah where it talks about God's judgment coming, because that is coming. One day Jesus is going to return and there'll be no more chances to respond to him. But now, today, that day that Jesus read this all the way till today, it's still the year of the Lord's favor. It's still the day of salvation. That's what scripture says. If today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. Rather, turn and repent. And that's kind of where I want to land us. What's so important here is our response to Jesus's words. I think it's Mark 6. Mark tells this same account here, and he says that the people of Nazareth, Luke tells us they rejected him. They get really angry at the things that Jesus says here because Jesus calls out their unbelief. Mark 6 says they took offense at his words. They're like, man, this kid grew up here. We've seen this. He's Joseph's son, right? He's not the Messiah, and they don't believe him, and they take offense at his words. And so the question I kind of laid before us on Sunday was, are we going to take Jesus at his word? Are we going to take offense at his words? Rejecting him or accepting him? There's really not a lot of middle ground. And the way that we enter that rest, the way that we have the forgiveness of sin, the way that we have hope restored and our brokenness healed is by taking Jesus at his word, by repenting of sin and trusting him and saying, man, it's the year of the Lord's favor, the ultimate jubilee. It's found in Christ. He really is who he says he is. And I'm going to trust him daily with my life. He is my hope and my joy. I want to pray for you, and then I want to give you an opportunity just to pray today and to place your hope, your faith, your joy in Christ. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for such powerful imagery and symbolism in the scriptures. I think about, again, the year of Jubilee and what an incredible year that would be and the hope that would bring. And then Jesus coming along and saying, basically, I'm the ultimate fulfillment of that. The real year of the Lord's favor is here. And God, that remains open to us today. To be able to enter into that rest, to have that hope, to find that joy in you. And I pray for anyone who's listening today, God, who doesn't feel that, is not experiencing that, God, would they turn from their sin, trust you with their lives, and in you experience the joy and the forgiveness of sin and the hope that you offer. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.